now import of factoring. Factoring, bank can enter into an arrangement with the international factoring company of the repute, preferably member of the factor chain international without approval of the Reserve Bank of India. This is very recently permitted by the Reserve Bank of India to the banks. Because what happens, you know, many times the bankers are not in position to give that much justification to the importer, that means very large clients. So there is a requirement of financing to the import. Financing to the import. So under the circumstances, like export factoring, there will be an import factoring also. For that, there will be a chain of import factors, and through the Exim Bank, the bankers are required to register them with the factoring agency abroad, because it is always required to obtain the various information from the ultimate supplier. Okay, and so as to ensure that compliance with the Foreign Exchange Management Act, okay, the AD banks has to follow the guidelines, directives, or issue or any other type of instruction which are issued by the Reserve Bank of India to comply with it. Now coming down to very interesting and important item which is covered under the merchanting trade. What is this merchanting trade means? Okay. Merchanting trade is nothing but it is a simple trade where goods are not coming to India. Goods are not coming to India under the import. Then you will ask me how it is, it will be merchanting trade. You see, the mechanism is very simple. For example, I am standing in front of you. I am a merchant trader. I am a trader in India. Okay. What is my business? My business is to procure the order for the supply of the goods. And also, I myself also should have a capacity to identify who is the supplier of a kind of goods. So I am working on two fronts. One, I am identifying the availability of the goods in the market internationally, and for that goods I am also identifying the buyer for those goods in international market. So what is my job is to coordinate between the supplier of the good and buyer of the good. My duty is, I will maintain the portfolio of both the buyer and supplier. When goods are ready, and if there is an order by the buyer, I will enter into supply of the type of goods with supply of goods to me. But I will instruct him, enter into agreement with me first and ensure that the document will be forwarded to me, but you have to ship the goods, and ship the goods, goods will not come to my country. It will go to the some other country where I am directing you to send those goods to that country and that phenomenon. Okay, both are agreeing. Now, this is one leg. That is import leg. I am buying the goods from one country under the agreement entered by me with the ultimate supplier of the goods. Another one is buyer of the goods. He is placing order with me because I said I will supply you the good. I will not tell him from where I am supplying the goods. I am a trader. I know where the goods are available. So I am entering into agreement with him. And thereafter, when the agreement is entered into, I have already directed. I am directing the supplier to ship the goods and it directly go to that country. Now, after shipment of the goods, documents will come to me. documents will come to me. I am buying it at very low cost. I am buying at very low cost because I know I have to generate the profit. So, I am saying him, at this rate, you have to supply me the goods and ship the goods to XYZ country, favoring so-and-so beneficiary. He does that. He prepares the document. He sends it to you. Maybe it is directly or maybe through the bankers. Okay? If such situation arises, then when I receive the document either directly or through my bank, when the goods are shipped, I receive the document and I will ensure that. Now, except one document, transfer document, that is bill of lading. That is bill of lading, that is transfer document. What I will do? I will replace all other document. I will replace all other document except the bill of lading, because that is the document to the title of goods, and inflate my invoice as agreed with the ultimate buyer. Whatever the cost, whatever the price I quoted to him, the same cost I will, accordingly, I will prepare a fresh invoice as if I have exported the goods and submit it to my banker as an export document and send it across for collection and receiving the payment of this export realization from that country. I will receive the payment from him. I will ensure that as long as my client who has purchased that ultimately will make the payment, I will not make the payment to that gentleman who has supplied the goods. So, supplier will be on the short term and the buyer's term will be on the longer term. It means export will be realized first. Export will be realized first, and out of that export proceeds, I will make the payment of the importer. This mechanism is called merchanting trade. Certain guidelines have been issued by RBI, certain regulation has to comply with. Okay? These guidelines. Now, the entity who enters into the merchanting trade, he should ensure that he should not normally a trader. He should not normally a trader. He should have insurable interest in the goods, and he should not be only a financial intermediary. Because I have money, I am doing this business. It should not be. He should be a trader of those commodities also. Okay. Now, entire merchanting trade is required to be completed within 9 months only. Maximum period within which export should be realized and import payment should be made, that should be completed within 9 months only. Not beyond 9 months, otherwise it will be considered as an overdue. Advance remittance for import is also permitted. But once the advance remittance is made, then from that date onward, within 4 months, export should be realized. Because there is a restriction of outlay of the funds. There is restriction on outlay of the funds, not beyond outlay of rupee funds after conversion rupee into foreign currency. It should not be remain outstanding more than 4 months. That is why export should be realized within that 4 months time. Then at that point of time, 9 months period is not applicable. Buyer's credit, supplier's credit can be permitted. Then discounting of the export bill for the purpose of making the payment of import bill is also permitted, to the extent of the period which is already expired. Okay, so on the due date. These are some of the terms and conditions that is required to be considered. Now, in this merchanting trade, like export, there will be no shipping bill, that is control document, and in import, there will be no bill of entry, because goods are neither coming to India nor going out from India. What is coming into India as a merchant under the MTT, that is merchanting trade transaction, that comes is the only documents, and there is no control by any customs officials. So the regulation is that both the leg of importing and exporting should be handled by only one AD category bank. Only one AD category bank. One leg is for with other bank, another leg with another bank, it is not permitted. Okay? KYC and AML, due diligence is a must. And third party payment is not permitted to be accepted under this merchanting trade transactions. Okay? So, these are some of the guidelines which I have explained to you. It is elaborately mentioned here. So, this is as per the regulations which are framed by the Reserve Bank of India and Government of India. Discounting of, also I said that export bill can be discounted and payment can be made to the Reserve Bank, payment can be made to the ultimate supplier of the goods. Okay, so import link can be completed. Now, realization if it happens before the import payment is required to be made and early realization happens, that means on the due date only, but early realization happens, the remittance which is received or advance remittance for export is also received from the ultimate buyer by this merchant trader, then he is permitted to keep the entire amount into either foreign currency account specifically opened for that or EEFC account which is meant for depositing that. And to the extent of the total amount of import payment is to be made, that will only kept in the EEFC account. Rest amount he can very well use it, utilize it, and that will be his profit. That will be his profit. Okay? Now, advance payment for the import. Maximum permissible amount is $500,000. That is one condition. Guarantee and co-acceptance that can be permitted by the bank. But everything should be completed within 9 months period. But I have given the option. Any point of time, if any date, date is important. The moment the goods are shipped, the period starts from there till 9 months. But if importer wants the advance payment, and after 1 month advance payment after shipment is made, then after that 4 months period only left out. So under the circumstances, the export should be realized within 4 months time. So tenor of the import bill should be longer. Import bill should be longer and tenor of the export bill should be shorter. So in shorter period, amount will be realized and that will be kept in EFC, and on the due date, import payment can be made on the due date itself. Okay, these are some of the guidelines which are issued by the Reserve Bank of India. Now, the write-off of unrealized export leg, it is freely permitted, provided all the efforts for realization of the export proceeds have been undertaken by the merchant trader. Okay, and this facility is also permitted. This facility is also granted like other facility which is given to the normal exporters only. Terms and conditions remain as it is. Only thing is that the shipping bill will not be there, and that has to be borne, and that has to be taken into consideration while doing it, while doing the write-off of the export leg under merchanting trade transactions. For that purpose, few guidelines that goods exported, you are aware that goods exported many times may be auctioned or destroyed by the port of ultimate buyer's country. Realization document should be there. Then unrealized amount of the export leg represent the balance due to the case which is settled as intervention of Indian embassy efforts have been made, but it is not getting materialized. These are some of the clauses, A, B, C, some of the clauses which I have mentioned here. That is, as applicable normal to the normal export is also applicable here also. Okay, so there is nothing much to discuss on this. Already I have explained, taking into consideration these guidelines which are framed before you, right? Now, third party payment, as I said, there is no scope of handling the third party payment, as third party payment for export and import leg of merchanting trade are not allowed. Agency commission is also not permitted. Okay, agency commission is also not permitted. Agency commission is also not allowed. Many times it happened, no, if agent is allowed, he himself is an agent, merchant trader, then what for agency commission is required to be given? So that is also not permitted. Then specific request for AD bank, in case he took the assistance from somebody so as to garner the order or grabbing the order, then in that case request may be considered in consultation with the Reserve Bank of India. Nepal and Bhutan merchanting trade is permitted, okay, because these are the landlocked countries. Nepal, Bhutan and India are the landlocked countries joined with the land, okay, and transit through India it happens. Transit through India happens, even though Nepal and Bhutan have entered into the merchanting trade agreement. India is under cover of the custom transit, okay? So by road, whenever goods are going, which is coming from some other country and going through the India, passing through the India, it can be permitted. So merchanting trade to the Nepal and Bhutan is freely permitted, even though the countries are landlocked, okay? Now, coming down to another issue, that is processing of import related payments through online payment gateway service provider. Online payment gateway service provider is another concept for e-commerce import. For e-commerce import, certain goods are imported through the e-commerce portal, okay? Somebody has placed the order on the e-commerce and he has to make the payment. There are certain portals or service providers in international market, online market. For them, they are permitted to make the payment up to $2,000 only. That is small, very small, small items whenever it is purchased by the Indian entity. Then payment can be made through the OPGSP system. What is this OPGSP system? Balances which are held in the import collection account. See, there is one service provider. Platform is provided, online platform is provided to the Nostro Bank, that is overseas bank where settlement happens, and also to the importers bank. So, when any importer or buyer in India imports certain goods, okay, he has to make the payment. If price is below 2000, then the supplier of these goods will instruct the importer to go to this particular site of the service provider, that is OPGSP site, and he will say that make the payment through that route. That is online payment route. That online payment route, he will make the payment, but the payment which he has made, that will come for import collection account first. First import collection account. That means service provider has to maintain one import collection account. So money which is remitted by the buyer of the goods in India, he will make the payment through that platform. It will fall into the import collection account and remitted to the respective overseas exporter's account immediately on receipt of the fund from the importer, and in no case later than 2 days from the date of credit to this collection account. This is just to help the e-commerce, this OPGSP came into the existence. In that case, AD Bank will obtain, role of the bank is to obtain a copy of the invoice and alway and airway bill from the OPGSP, because goods has to anyway come either by the courier or by post or whatever it may be, is it not? So airway bill copy must be obtained, and name and address of the beneficiary as evidence of the import, because there it is not coming to, it is coming through the custom channel, and courier bill of entry will be there. So the report the transaction under R-Return, that is reporting system, to the Reserve Bank of India. Okay. Permitted credits are collection from the Indian importers from online purchase, which will be collected or which will be credited to the import collection account, and thereafter it will be passed down to the actual Nostro account, and from Nostro account it will go to the ultimate supplier's account. Okay. Then permitted debit chargeback, some charges are there from the overseas exporter that can be permitted, that can be permitted to be credited. Okay. Then permitted debit includes making payment to the overseas exporters, that is principal reason, and the payment to the Indian importer for return of refund, return. Sometimes goods are not acceptable and there is a goods return policy. Accordingly, goods are returned. So whatever payment he has made has to come back. So return goods can also be, return payment also can be credited into that account. These are some of the items, these are some of the characteristic features of OPGSP. Okay. Having understood that, now let us see how the settlement happens of the import transaction where currency is not having the direct exchange rate. Many times it happens, no? There is no direct exchange rate mechanism. In this, settlement of the import transaction where invoicing is done in a freely convertible currency and settlement takes place at the currency of the beneficiary, which through the convertible and does not have any direct exchange rates. So, importer shall be a customer of the bank who undertakes the transaction. He should submit the signed contract invoice as free convertible currency. Beneficiary should willing to receive the payment in other currency other than the original in which invoice is raised, and bank should satisfied with the bona fides of the transaction. Okay. Counterparty, that is both to the importer, that is supplier, exporter of the AD Bank, is not from the country of FATF. Both the, I mean supplier of the goods should not be in the country from where they are non-compliant with the FATF, that is Financial Action Task Force, and public statement of highly risk or non-cooperative jurisdiction. Now coming down to understand little bit about some information about the third party payment for import transaction. Once I remember we have discussed in some of the chapter that third party import payment transaction. Third party means, suppose I have imported the goods after entering into the agreement with the supplier. So it is my duty to make the payment to the supplier of the goods. But many times it so happens, the supplier says, instead of making payment, you make the payment to XYZ, who is residing in this country. We do not know what is the relation between the supplier and that third person. But many occasions it so happens, like merchanting trade, how we have discussed, the role played by the supplier. Shipper may be different, manufacturer will be different, and supplier will be different. Under such situation, when I am receiving the goods, I am getting directed by the person with whom I have entered into agreement. If he says me, you make the payment to him, fine, I have no issues. If you are saying that you don't want payment on behalf of what the cost of the goods, you make the payment to so and so, I'm happy to make it payment, absolutely no problem. But how the Indian entity or Indian government or regulatory authority will come to know that this is the same payment which is making for which the goods have been received? For that purpose, the condition stipulated by the Reserve Bank of India is name of the third party should be mentioned on the bill of entry. Number one. Number two, name of the third party should be mentioned on the import invoice. If both are there, then there is no requirement of any regulatory approval or any agreement or third party agreement from them. But in the absence of the names on the bill of entry and the invoice, there must be a tripartite agreement entered into by the supplier, buyer, and third party, confirming that the payment of imported goods will be going to so and so, XYZ, despite the goods are supplied by A. This is permitted provided these some of this criteria or names or agreement is there and it is mentioned on the document. This is the provision which is made under third party payment mechanism. In addition to that, it is required to be mentioned that the payment to the third party which is going that country should not be FATF compliant, and proper due diligence is there. Okay, then bill of entry should be mentioned, the name as I explained, our shipping bill, all these things are already explained to you. So under these circumstances, we have closed our discussion on the regulatory part of the import trade. Regulatory part, regulatory requirement, regulations. So guidelines we have seen. We have seen regulations also. Now, let us see what is in the next chapter. Till then, thank you very much.